Hey everybody, it's Pastor Will. Welcome or welcome back to the Brazos Fellowship Podcast. Thank you for listening today. And at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast if you aren't already. But more importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good. Y'all are a big crowd. I'm not used to a crowd like this. Usually we, y'all kind of know the rhythm. Whenever Pastor Will gets finished with a series, one of us is going to get up and give him a little break, and we did in the middle of a series, so y'all didn't know you were getting a guest speaker today, so you showed up, so thank you very much. Made me feel so good. Now, hey, my name is Sean. I want to welcome you, especially if you are new this here today, and wow, before I get started, you guys, y'all's praise and worship was incredible. I really was blessed by that, so thank you guys for letting me hear that and be a part of it, but I'm also supposed to tell you, my brain's fried right now. I don't know what's going on. Okay, so I'm supposed to tell you this. Next week, come back, and Pastor Will is going to talk about the cross. It's a great series. Y'all enjoy that. Okay, I did my plug. All right, here we go. Today, we're going to talk about food, because it's a hot topic. Maybe it's not a hot topic, but I'm calling it a hot topic. Here's why I wonder if it's a hot topic. Because I think that people are talking about it all the time, but I also know that when I was in my early 20s, I worked with some guys that were much older than me, and we would have breakfast together every morning before work. And every morning before work, their conversation was about the same thing, what they were going to have for dinner that night. And I kept thinking to myself, how can people talk about food all the time? This is all these guys talk about. And then I thought, oh, that's just what you talk about whenever you get older. So maybe this isn't a hot topic. Maybe I'm just old now. And so all I do is I talk about food. So this is, here we go. But it seems like there's a battle that's always raging. Should we have more carbohydrates? Should we have more protein in our diet? Should we have free range or organic eggs? Should we be drinking 1%, 2%, or whatever's made out of something that's not a cow? Milk. There you go. I'm right there with you. I'm going whole, but I'm crazy that way. It's the fat. I love the fat in it. It's so good. But okay, I digress. All right, so, but all of this is kind of going on. But let me tell you this. If you just ate a diet of just whole foods, we would all go, that's what's best for us. But did you know this? If that's all your diet was just whole foods, you wouldn't get the same nutrition from that that our grandparents did. Yeah, more and more research is saying that our food is losing its nourishment. In an article in National Geographic, it says this, mounting evidence shows that many of today's whole foods aren't as packed with vitamins and nutrients as they were 70 years ago, potentially putting people's health at risk. Now, if you read on the article, it says the reason for this is because of modern farming practices. Irrigation and fertilizers and different like that are actually doing some damage to our soil. Now, farmers aren't bad for the things they're doing. No, they're actually solving a big problem that the world has always faced that now, because of modern farming practices, we wouldn't have to face. Do you know that on our farms and ranches today, if we did not have wars and conflicts, there would be no problem feeding everyone on this planet with what we produce. We could eradicate hunger as we know it because of our modern farming practices. So they were solving a problem, and it was a big problem. But in doing it, they started doing damage to our soil. Now, this is a great illustration for what's going on in our lives. The issue with the soil is a great illustration for what's going on with our souls. Many of us right now are walking around with anxiety, depression, fear, anger. We're wondering what it is. But our modern practices to have fulfilled lives are doing serious damage to sicken our souls. We're not doing it intentionally. It's a byproduct of some practices that we're doing. Matter of fact, if our ancestors came and looked at our lives, they looked at the homes that we lived in, they looked at the things we have in our homes, they looked at our bank accounts, and they looked at all the storage areas that we have, that we keep all the stuff that we have, they would all go, man, you guys are thriving. And inside, most of us don't feel like we're thriving. Most of us feel like we're just kind of barely hanging on. But on the outside, on the Instagram us, it looks good. But on the inside, we're feeling a little depleted. Feel like we wish there was more. Could this be more? Now, these modern practices didn't start 70 years ago like our farming practices. These practices started as soon as Adam and Eve stepped out of the garden. We've been using the same fertilizers to have a fulfilled life since that time. If your life looks great on to others, but is feeling anxiety, frustration, depleted, it's time to tend to your soul, not your goals. Now, Jesus talks about this. Even during his day, he wanted to share with the people. This has been going on for a long time, so he was sharing them, and he gave a story, or a parable, as they're called, that illustrated what a lot of us are feeling today. This story is in Matthew 13. We're going to start with verse 3 through 8. There Jesus gives this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell along the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. So if you read that and you go, how does that apply to my life? Guess what? His audience felt the same way. They kind of listened to what Jesus said and they go, oh, that's really deep. It's so deep, I don't know what he's talking about. Here's the crazy thing. Jesus didn't care. Jesus didn't act like I need to make these people understand this. No, he would just say it and move on. Now, when he got with his disciples later on, he would go, hey, guys, y'all know what I was talking about? And they go, yeah, please tell us what you're talking about. So he says, all right, let me tell you. So skip down to verse 18. He starts explaining this parable. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sowed along the path. Now, if you've heard this parable a bunch, I'm going to explain it maybe in a way it's a little different than how you've heard it. I'm not changing the truth that's in this. I'm just trying to understand that there's more going on here that we're dealing with in our lives than what we think when we read a parable like this. So who are these birds that are stealing all the stuff that we need? The birds in our lives are the families we love. The birds in our life are the needs of the friends we love. The birds in our lives are the needs of the community we love. It's these needs right here that are causing so much problems for us. Kim and I went to on a vacation here recently, and every morning there at the resort, there was a nice restaurant, and you could sit on the patio, and you could look out over the water, and there were reefs down there, and you could see all kinds of tropical fish just floating in the Gulf of Mexico. It was gorgeous. There was only one problem with every one of these breakfast meals: the birds. The birds had gotten really used to that plates of food were easy meals for them. And so you were kind of constantly on guard, you know, looking around. These birds were so smart. They'd been doing this for so long. They knew if there was an empty table that had sugar caddies on it, they could come to that sugar caddy, pull out the sugar, and go eat it. Now, here's something to make you feel good. They left all the unnatural sweeteners alone. I'm not joking. They would pick through them and just grab the natural sugars. These birds were smart. Now, these birds were not being bad. These birds were just being birds. And this was an easy meal, and they were hungry. So they came and took advantage of the meal. The only problem was these birds were robbing people of nourishment that was made for them and not for the birds. So, if your family and your kids are consuming your life with their needs, if you're allowing them to consume your life with your needs, if you get up every day worried and anxious, you're not bad. The worry and the anxious is not even about you. It's a good thing. You want to help control the outcomes of their life. It's causing a lot of stress in your life. It's causing a lot of anxiety in your life. If your life is filled with serving, but the burden feels overwhelming and resentment is building towards the ones you serve, your soul needs tending to. Jesus goes on explaining the parable, and he says this: the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy, but since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When the trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So, what are these rocks? Well, the rocks are simple. The rocks we keep in our lives to keep the people from intruding in our progress. Rocks help keep emotions from intruding on our progress. Rocks help keep complications from intruding on our progress. On the same trip, Kim and I went to the other side of this island we were on, and the islands were beautiful, but it was on the open side, not on the Gulf side. And the waves were a lot bigger, and the rocks were a lot sharper. And even though the water looked so good, you couldn't get into them because of these barriers that were there. And I don't like going on the beach where I don't like to get in the water. So I was frustrated the whole time I was there. But that's the way a lot of our lives are. We've built barriers in our lives to keep us productive, to keep us moving forward, to keep us accomplishing the things we need to accomplish. But the people in our lives can't actually get to us because of the things that we're putting into our lives, whether we know it or we don't know it, that we've allowed to help us continue to stay productive. So, if your life is productive, but the people you care about complain they have less and less of you, your soul needs tending. Jesus finishes up his parable and lets us know about the thorns when he says this: the seed falls along the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. That's how you say that word. Making it unfruitful. Have you ever gone on vacation? These are all vacation stories. I just came back from one. Have you ever gone on vacation and you get back from it and you're like, I need a vacation from the vacation? Oh, yeah, it's a common experience. Kim and I have done that a couple times, and we got somewhere, and it's supposed to be relaxing. We're going to see this new place, and it became a competition. Can we get everything in that we want to get in? No, let's get in more than what people get in. Could we get in the most that anyone's ever gotten in? And we do. We go and see it all, and we've got plenty of pictures. You know what? We'll never go back and organize them because there's too many of them. It's too exhausting. And you're coming back on either the plane or in the car, and you look at your spouse, and you both look like you just ran two back-to-back marathons. And all you can think is, I got to go to work tomorrow. This is supposed to be a vacation. You know, dreams are like that. Dreams can get in our way. And dreams are the thorns of our life. Thorns are the dreams for our lives. Thorns are the dreams for our bank account. And thorns are the dreams for the lives that we hope our lives have an impact. So that same thing, that same feeling, a lot of us feel every day. Because we have these dreams. They're either heavenly dreams, or they're nightmares. But dreams are just like thorns. They propel us to move. And we cannot relax when a thorn is in our back or when a dream is in our heart. So we're constantly moving, looking to get more, looking to have more, looking to accomplish more. But dreams, there's a price for them. But dreams keep us moving. So if what you've acquired in your life keeps piling up, but your need to acquire keeps rising, your soul needs tending. It's a book I've been reading called Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. And I love this definition he gives of a fool. He says this: the fool tries to adjust the truth so that he does not have to adjust to it. I don't know about you, but according to his definition, I play the fool all the time. And why do we do this? Why do we keep going down a path when we know the ending's probably not going to be good? Because the truth is, we're more motivated by feelings than we are by facts. Way more motivated by feelings than we are facts. Why do you keep saying yes to people? Because it feels good. It feels good to be the hero for your kids. It feels good to be the hero at work. It feels good. So we say yes, and we keep serving. Why do we keep putting up walls? Because being productive feels so good. Knocking stuff off our list. Oh, man, I'm a list checker offer. Oh, my wife knows it's been a good day when I got to check off a bunch of stuff on my list. There's nothing better. Feels good. Why do we keep moving forward? Because forward has got to be better than now. What's out there has got to be better than this. It's only a little bit further. So how do we stop? How do we adjust this? Because just as modern agricultural practices are depleting our soil, so following after feelings depleting our soul. You may not be feeling it right now, but a day is going to come when your desire to take care of the needs of everyone around you is going to leave you bitter, not better. Your desire to build boundaries and systems so you can pray productive are going to leave you feeling imprisoned, not productive. Your desire to keep filling up your trophy case is going to leave your soul feeling thin, bare, and worn, and not fulfilled. How do we start tending to our soul when what we're doing feels so right? You need to play the movie forward. Play the movie forward in your life. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is say, you don't have to pretend to do this. You can already know what your future is going to look like if you'll just play the movie forward. What does my life look like now? It will continue looking like this if I keep doing the same thing 6 months from now, 6 years from now. What will your life look like if right now your kids interact with you like you're their Uber driver, you're their short order cook, you're their sports agent, you're their entertainment director, and you're their ATM? Is that the way you want them to interact with you 6 months from now, 6 years from now, when they're in their 20s, 30s, and 40s? What's your life going to look like if the people around you are already starting to pull away because everything that they do with you is only on your time, your plans, and fit your needs? Who will you have around you 6 months from now, 6 years from now? Do you really want to go down the path of a narcissist? Because it's a lonely journey. What's your life going to look like if you don't feel grounded? If the driving force in your life, you keep saying to yourself and to everyone else, when I ... I'll slow down. I'll wrap up. I'll be done. We'll stop. Will you really? I mean, most of us who say that, we blew past markers that we set for ourselves a long time ago. And we didn't stop. We didn't slow down. Because when we got there, it didn't feel the way we thought it was going to feel. And so we said, oh, it must be just a little bit more. Maybe we need to go a little bit further, a little bit bigger. Because we are getting ourselves in a situation by needing more. It's hurting us, not helping us. The key to a healthy soul is very simple. Before I tell you this, though, I'm going to tell you right now that this is the hardest application I've ever asked an audience to do. And I know that 98% of you will look at me and shake your head, yeah, that's true. And you'll never even attempt it. Not because you don't think it's true. Just because it flies in the face of everything you've come to see, learn, and think about what it means to be successful in this world. So the key to having a healthy soul is just to stop. Stop. So what does that mean, stop? Stop. There's no hidden message here. Stop. I'm not saying stop living. What I'm saying is stop doing the thing that's causing the stress and the anxiety and the frustration in your life. That's your need to control outcomes. Think about it. What do you stay up nights about? It's very little the now, it's the outcome that we're worried about. The need to control outcomes is what poisons our soul. Our modern practices for life is to try and control outcomes. And it's killing us. And we can't see it because our lives are thriving, but inside we're empty. Have to learn how to let go and just stop. And you go, but if I do that, I won't. Listen to what Jesus says to finish up this parable. 13:23 says this, but the seed falling on the good soil, on the good soul, refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 30 times what was sown. What Jesus is saying is, listen, all your soul needs is my blood. And I shed it so that you could be healed. So quit putting back on all the stuff the world says you need. It wasn't working for you before you accepted my gift, and it hasn't been working for you after you accepted my gift. Because we've got to stop feeding the birds in our life, building the rocks in our lives, and living with the thorns of our life. Because they're killing our soul. It's not that you don't serve people. Please don't hear me going away like, Sean said I didn't have to serve. You stop putting their needs on your shoulders like it all depends on you. It's not that we don't try and have progress. We all should have try and have progress. We just shouldn't have progress be more important than the people that we have around us. Have a dream. Have two dreams. But quit believing that what's out there is better than right here. Jesus didn't die on a Roman cross for our souls to be sick, anxiety-ridden, depressed. That was what his gift was for. He came so that we could have lives that would produce a yield 100 times greater than we could have ever imagined. We just have to stop putting the fertilizer this world tells us that we need onto our souls and start letting the Master tend to our soul. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you've made it that easy. And because it's so easy, we will ignore it. And that's on us. Everything around us says that we've got to have more, got to take care of more, we've got to accomplish more. Lord, I don't think you have a problem with any of that. The problem is the way we go about doing it. I'm not believing that you're enough, that what you did for us was enough, that you will take care of the outcomes of our life. All we have to do is put our trust in you. And it's amazing when we just stop some of these practices, how quickly our soul begins to thrive. So, Lord, I pray that we would do that. I pray that everyone in here who is feeling exhausted and burdened, whose lives look good on the outside, but inside they feel empty, just give it all to you. Continue going about work, continue taking care of family, continue having dreams, but just trust that you've got the outcome of all this. And no matter what happens, it's going to be okay, because you love us and you care for us, and I thank you for that. And if you're here today and you know this is speaking to your heart, your life looks amazing, but inside, you're tired, you're beat down, you're fearful. If that's you, I just want to pray for you real quick. Would you be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I just want to lay it at his feet? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, whether they're raising their hand or not, that we would just take all of this that's not healthy for our soul, all of our need to take care of outcomes, to put it on our back and just lay it at your feet, Lord. And just leave it there. And when we turn around, it's back in our hands, we turn back around and we put it back at your feet. And we start seeing what a life that truly trusts you feels like. We start singing and feeling our souls come back to life. If you're here today and you've never made the commitment to call Jesus your Lord and Savior, matter of fact, you've run from it, or you thought it was ridiculous, you just didn't even believe in it, but today Jesus is speaking to your heart. And you wanna run to him. I would love to just lead you in a prayer that you can say now, quietly in your chair, or you can say at home in your own words. But if you're ready to make him your Lord and Savior, then just say this prayer. Say, God, I've run from you. I've tried everything else in this world. It's left me feeling hurt, abandoned. And today, I want to trust you. Today, I want to accept your gift. And I want to call you Lord and Savior. And I want to allow you to take care of my sin. I want to give you authority over my life. this day forward, I want to have a relationship with you. You are my Savior. If that was you today, if you just raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you real quickly. Lord, we just thank you so much for the power that you have for us. And Lord, this simple little prayer, it's just the beginning. The beginning of a lifetime of conversations where we will get it wrong and you will pick us up and you'll encourage us to move on. That you will show us that your burden is light, but your love is all that we need. And I pray that each of us would go out and we would be a reflection of your light and of your easy yoke to the rest of the world. Because we'll stop worrying about outcomes and just enjoy you, Lord, where you have us and the opportunities you give us. Lord, we pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. We'll see y'all back next week.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the Brazos Valley, we would love for you to engage with us at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, visit us at BrazosFellowship.com. That's BrazosFellowship.com.